Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Happy Easter to you. And it's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know what time it is. You're talking, or you're listening to JT, a.k.a. the Master. And guess what? It's the Master Plan. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. And just like Chaka Khan, the music I'm playing now, ain't nobody does it better. But the Master. So what I want you to do is listen to a little Chaka, and we'll come back and we'll talk. You listen, I'll talk. All right. I'm back. Those, that was an old school song back in the fine lady. She, to this day, she's still fine. We're talking about Chaka Khan, and that is called Ain't Nobody. Look it up. Go to YouTube. Play it. It's an old classic. It still can jam on it, especially if you're an old guy like me. Because that's the way we roll here. We roll out something old school every morning on 10 a.m., at 10 a.m. on the Sunday, to get you groove on early. We also have a chat room open. The chat room is open for always for your convenience. It doesn't have to be on subject. You can do whatever you want with that chat room. What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. Question, comment, make a statement. You can do any of those three things, and I will respond because I'm looking at it as we speak. We're going to be talking about today. A couple of things. One, we're going to talk about the NCAA, the last day of March Madness, or March, I should say. Still going to be maddening because now we're, after today, it's going to be the Final Four. Talked briefly on the show yesterday about the March Madness, and the madness is still beginning. Still keep happening, okay? Marquette played Syracuse in the Elite Eight in the East portion of that bracket and got stomped out. They got stomped, 55-39. It really wasn't close. Syracuse is shown to be still a power in the NCAA tournaments. Jim Boeheim and that zone defense is tough to deal with. As many times as people have seen that, have played against it, because they've been in numerous tournaments, the NCAA tournaments or whatever tournaments they've been in, still have a hard time doing it, and he's been doing it for decades. Got to hand it to my man, Jim Boeheim. He in that zone defense, is got it on lockdown. Then we moved over to the West, where the number 9 seed, one of the surprise teams of the tournament, probably the surprise team right now that's still in the tournament, Wichita State, the number 9 seed, goes against Ohio State. And they come out on top, and they're going to the Final Four, the number 9 seed. I mean, just right from the beginning, you knew there was going to be havoc wrecked in that bracket when the 3, 4, 5 seed went out real early. Then the 1 seed went out with their second game in that bracket. So, I mean, it was absolutely crazy. And talking about the Wild Wild West, well, that was what that bracket was, the Wild Wild West. And now Wichita State is going to go up against whoever wins between Louisville and Duke. Classic matchup that's going to take place a little later today. That's a classic, you know, one versus two. And it's in my opinion, these last two games that are left is must-see TV. Louisville against Duke, which comes on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon today. Somebody's going to have a happy Easter, and somebody's going to go home with a bunch of broken eggs. That's all I can tell you. And then we go over to the South Bracket, which is another classic duel between two powerhouses. We're talking about the ACC. The Florida's in the ACC against the Big Ten in Michigan. Big Ten have been wreaking havoc throughout the tournament. Now we'll see if they can get to the Final Four. What's it going to be? Is it going to be Duke against Michigan or Florida? Because that's the matchup if they get to the Final Four. Duke is either matching up against Michigan, Florida, whoever wins that, or Louisville is matching up against Michigan or Florida. Or Florida is matching up against Duke or Louisville, or Michigan is matching up against one of those two, Louisville and Duke. So who is it going to be? Right now, it's Big East against the ACC and Big Ten against the ACC. Is it going to be the two ACC teams? Or is it going to be Big East against Big Ten or Big East against ACC? Or is it going to be ACC against the Big Ten? This is must-see TV for these two games, absolutely. These are two well-coached, and these teams have won championships before. They have won championships before. So this is not like this is something new to the dance for these four teams. They have won championships before, and they have an opportunity to get to the Final Four, which in turn gets them, whoever wins that gets them to the Final Two. And Michigan against Florida is mid-afternoon, 2:20, 2:30, give it a take or something like that. Must-see TV. So hopefully... And I hate to say it like this, you get to all your Easter stuff that you want to do, especially the men that are into college basketball and March Madness at this time of year. Get all that put aside, come home after church, 1 o'clock or whatever you do, sit down, take off your Easter clothes, get in some clothes to relax, get in front of the tube, go into your man cave, or if you don't have a man cave, just get in front of the big screen TV and watch from 2:30 until the end of the second game, which would be about 7:30. You sit down for five hours and watch good college basketball. That's all I got to say about that. It's been a heck of a ride. It's coming down to four teams now, and today is going to be a very good day in college basketball. If you like to watch, very good basketball and very good coaching. All these coaches are very good coaches and have been there before. With that being said, I'm also going to talk about, and I wouldn't say I was lambasted or whatever, but I was a little criticized. And, you know, I got feelings just like everybody else that I only talked about last week when I was on the show. Talked about last week was two teams in our fantasy baseball league that we drafted 3 o'clock on Saturday a week ago. And I'm going to go and talk about all the fantasy baseball teams in our league in Yahoo. All of them. And where I see them right now, and they, like I said, everything changes. Injuries. Some people drafted maybe could become busts. Some people drafted could be sleepers. And some are overvalued. Some are undervalued. I'm going to try to talk as much as I can about all of that. I'm going to break down each team and where I see them at right now, where I see them. So basically what I'm saying is this. The teams that they drafted, for the most part, and maybe they made some changes, recent changes, but not anything big, but they still have their core players right now. I know you guys out there want to know who is the person who drafted best versus the person who drafted the worst. Is it because you grabbed a bunch of pitchers early or grabbed a bunch of big hitters early? This draft is classic on what I was talking about leading up to this draft. Do you want to take a high profile or a bunch of high profile quarterbacks early? Or you want to take a whole bunch of everyday players, skill players, running backs, wide receivers to fill your team out and then back them up with pitchers? Different philosophies. And this draft, the FSP Fantasy Sports and Politics League draft, was almost classic. I would say almost classic. It was classic on the different philosophies that were carried out in the draft. I've been debating on how I want to do this, but I think I'll do it this way. I'm going to start from the bottom of who I project the standings to be, and quite naturally, right now, in my opinion, drafted the worst to the best. That's how I'm going to go. Now, like I said, things can change for in the next several months, but this is how I see it. If you have an opinion, if you want to talk about something I've said, you know what the number is. If not, I'll give it to you again, 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. And if it's one of my league members, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Step up to the plate and take your swing at me. You know? You get as many swings as you like if you want to try to knock me out with whatever I have to say. But it's just one man's opinion. And believe me, when I say this, I'm being objective. I'm not being biased toward one team or another, including my own. I don't roll like that, never have. I give you an honest opinion, even at the detriment of myself. So trust me when I say this, I give you an honest opinion. I could care less. It's only fantasy baseball. It's not life or death. I know it's for money, but I see it like this. When you make it, you give an opinion, whether right or wrong, in your eyes or whoever's eyes that's looking at it, you can take that opinion two ways. Excuse me. You can take it personally, or you can take it as constructive criticism, and use it to better whatever is perceived as a weakness, or you can just chalk it up as someone actually giving their opinion, and you could care less one way or the other. So I'm just giving you my opinion, not that it's the opinion of all opinions, but I'm just giving you my opinion. So with that being said, and I'm going to go like this. I'm going to start with the worst team I think drafted, in this and where they drafted from. And then I'm going to go to the reasons why I think they didn't draft that well. And maybe break down a few of the and then also talk about what I see as their philosophy, why I think they didn't draft that well, because of their direction and the way they drafted. So without further ado, I'm going to go to the worst team I think that drafted first. The worst team, the number 12 team, I see him right now. This is how I see the standings. If everyone kept their team the same, I mean, basically, this is how you draft it, okay? Stop beating around the bush and just get to a jury, okay? So it's no problem. So this team drafted number 9, and the number 9 team in our Yahoo League, you know who you are, and I'm going to call you out. Without a doubt, I'm going to call out JDK 2013. As I see it right now, you did the worst job of drafting. Your first three draft picks were Joey Votto, Buster Posey, and Adam Jones. You didn't pick let me go to the first six picks, because that's key. And I just gave you the first three. In the fourth round, you went to Aaron Hill, which I probably wouldn't have gone. In the fifth round, you went to Mark Trumbull. And in the sixth round, you went to Zach Greinke, who's hurt right now, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's got issues. Anyway, JDK 2013. The reason why I'm saying that is because you're you have almost the weakest you have the weakest hitters in the whole league. Let's look at what you have as hitters in your league. Let me go this way. And let's go this way. you have. Oh, not that way. This way. Let's go this way. All right. You have at catcher Buster Posey. At first base, you have Joey Votto. Aaron Hill as your second baseman. Mark Trumbull as your third baseman. Elvis Andrus as your shortstop. Lance Berkman as your infielder. Dominic Brown as your left fielder. Very weak. Adam Jones as your center fielder. Hunter Pence as your right fielder. Josh Reddick is one of your is a utility. You took a shot. You probably listened to the hype, and you picked up Yasiel Puig from the L.A. Dodgers, who professes to be the next coming of Bo Jackson, supposedly. You also took a shot with Will Myers, who's I think he's a second-year player, and you're looking for some upside with him. I understand that. And then you have a guy that's on the DL with Corey Hart. Let's look at your pitchers. You have Zach Greinke, Matt Moore, Lance Lynn, Josh Beckett, Wandy Rodriguez, Julio Teheran and Paul Mahomes as your starting pitchers, and you picked up in your relief pitchers are Joe Hanrahan, Addison Reed, Houston Street, Jose Veras, David Hernandez, and so you picked up some risky pitching, let me put it that way. Not anything outstanding pitching, but you picked up some risky pitching. Coming from the nine hole, you did. I believe you tried probably do the best you could with what you had. I probably would have tried to concentrated more on my hitters versus my pitchers. You probably have the worst hitting lineup in the league, believe it or not, you don't have the worst pitchers, but you're hovering on the lower tier of hitters and pitchers. That's why I project you to be the bottom of the barrel. And this is just an opinion. Don't take it personal. Okay? This is just my opinion that JDK 2013 is going to end up somewhere near the bottom, if not on the bottom. Okay? Next one. And I'm really surprised at this one. It is what it is. And we'll go from there. This guy had the number 3 pick in FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner. You know who you are. He had the number 3 pick. And as always, he decided to go heavy on the offense. And just like the last two or three seasons, he was trying to pick up pitchers after he went heavy on the offense. So with his number 3 pick, he picked up Ryan Braun. And then after that, he had my pick. He had 2 picks in the second round, and he decided to pick up the pick I would have had in the second round, which was the number 2 pick, Jose Bautista, which is a good pick. And then he picked up Bryce Harper, which, in my opinion, is another good pick. But and after that, he picked up where is he at? Oh, he didn't have a pick in the third round. So, in essence, his 2 second-round picks was his third-round pick. And then we went to the fourth round. He picked up Gio Gonzalez. And then in the fifth round, he picked up Tim Lincecum. So what he did was this. He picked up 3 studs in the first 2 rounds, and then he came back and he started picking up his pitchers. It's an all right strategy. It's not. I wouldn't have picked up a pitcher in the fourth round. I would have waited a little further, quite naturally. When you wait, you're not going to get a stud pitcher. But, like I said before, and I'll say it again, the pitching is very strong this year. Very, very strong this year. Okay? To concentrate on the pitchers, concentrate on the hitters, when you go and pick up 2 pitchers in the back-to-back rounds, let me just see what he did in the sixth round. What did he do in the sixth round? He picked up 3 pitchers in the sixth round. Did he do it again? He didn't have a seventh round pick. Eighth round pick, he picked up relief pitcher. So, and then in the ninth round, he picked up another relief pitcher. So, for the next, and that's the reason why his batting has suffered, because from the third round, from the fourth round on, he either picked up a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. There's no way. That's five picks. That's five picks. That you're picking up pitchers when everyone else, is, for the most part, is picking up everyday players. So you pick up Gio Gonzalez, which is a very good pick, a very good pitcher. Tim Lincecum, which is a reach. He's a reach. You don't know exactly what kind of Tim Lincecum you're going to get. Then you pick up Max Scherzer, which is a decent pick for that one. Excuse me. You don't have a seventh round pick, so you come back in the eighth and the ninth round and pick up Rafael Soriano and Jim Johnson, two relief pitchers. No way, Jose. That means when you get to the tenth round, you're starting to pick up more everyday players, and you're killing yourself now, because now you're picking up. You're not picking up, you're picking up halfway decent players, but all those rounds that you picked up pitchers or relief, all pitchers, whether they're starting pitchers or relief pitchers, other guys are picking up better picks, everyday players. And you took five, six picks before you even started going back to your everyday players. In my opinion, you may have the three Bs, Gron, Bautista, and Bryce, but what else do you have? That's the reason why I have you as the heck is it at? As the number 11 and the next worst drafter in the league. I hate to tell you, Vic, but yeah. Your hitters, you got three good hitters, but what else do you have? Your pitching is not all that. It's not all that. And you're going to suffer, just like you do every single year. And I keep telling you the same thing, and you still keep making the same mistake over and over again. Gio Gonzalez, you took a shot on Tim Lincecum. You got Matt Scherzer. You got Matt Harrison. Jamie Garcia, who for the most part is very inconsistent. Barry Zito. And Jeff Niemann. Good luck. Good luck. That's all I got to say. Next we go. This guy had the number 7 pick. Halifax Hurlers, you know who you are. Now I've gotten the 12th, the 11th, and I think Halifax Hurlers is number 10. Just in my opinion, for the simple fact is he's on the lower end of drafting hitters and pitchers. Let's go look at the Halifax Hurlers and how he drafted in the first 5 to 6 rounds. First round, he had the number 7th pick, like I said, and this guy, I wouldn't say fell down to him, because this would probably be his average draft position, Andrew McCutchen, which I feel is a good pick. My problem is this with Andrew McCutchen. And with Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera, those three in particular, those guys had career years. Mike Trout, being a rookie, had an extremely good year, was in contention along with Miguel Cabrera for the MVP. Trout won the Rookie of the Year. Cabrera won the MVP. Both of those guys had career years. Along with Andrew McCutchen. Are they going to sustain that same type? If I'm not mistaken, McCutchen kind of tailed off near the end of the year. Or are they going to regress? Or what is their middle ground? That's what I'm saying. Career years, okay? Show me if you can do that again. So you draft these guys high like that, and we'll see what happens, okay? After the first round, he comes back again in the second round and picks up Carlos Gonzalez. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Carlos Gonzalez, he had him with a trade. I gave him Carlos Gonzalez last year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. And he picked up, he gave me Josh Hamilton. I remember that trade specifically. I'm almost positive it was with Halifax Hurlers. So he had an affinity for Carlos Gonzalez, and he picked him up in the second round. If I'm not mistaken, Carlos Gonzalez last year was a first-round pick, number 5, 4, 5 last year, if I'm not mistaken. So is it a steal? Could be. Carlos Gonzalez is a good pick. First two picks, in my opinion, are very good picks. Then he comes back and gets Edwin Encarnacion in the third round, which is another good pick. Then he comes to the fourth round, and he picks up Jason Hayward, which is another good pick. Then he comes back and picks up in the fifth round Aramis Ramirez, which is a decent pick. Not outstanding picks in the fifth round. That's not an outstanding, but it's a good pick. And then he picks up his first pitcher in the sixth round. Now, this, in my opinion, he's following my philosophy of picking a pitcher up in the sixth round, seventh round, late rounds. The middle rounds. Early late rounds. Let me put it that way. Early rounds, sixth round. So he picked up James Shields the sixth round. So he's number 10 in the overall standings. And because he went the way he did, he's evened out basically in the pitching. If you look at what he has in pitching and in hitters, he's about, and I'm looking at, going to be looking at his team right now. Let's see who he has here. He's got Carlos Gonzalez, Andrew McCutchen, Jason Hayward, and Edwin Encarnacion. Those four guys are in the top 50 in ranks, according to Yahoo. And then along with those, he's got three pitchers that are within the top 100. Two of them are relief pitchers, Jason Mott and Jonathan Papelbon, and one is James Shields. So he's going to, in my opinion, his pitching is going to, he's going to need guys to have very good years in order for him to be able to really compete in this league. His hitting, he needs all his guys to be, especially the big guns that he drafted, to be healthy, very healthy, in order to compete in the league. But as we stand now, I rate him number 10. Number 10 out of 12. So let's move on. And like I said, I'm unbiased here. I have nothing against any team in this league at all. Let's move on to the next one in line, which would be the number 9 team that I got ranked. And that guy was the number 11th pick in the first round. And you know who you're talking to, Moneyball. That's me. I got myself rated 9 in this draft. So, like I said, I'm not biased in my opinion. I'm just giving you the cold, hard facts here, and it is what it is. I also have I didn't have a number 2 pick, so I started with the number 3 pick and had doubled up, I think, in the number 11 pick, I think. I think I had two number 11 picks, if I'm not mistaken. Let me go look and see here. Let me see here. I didn't have a number 2 pick. Let me see a number 11. I think with number 11 I had 2 picks. Yes, I had 2 picks in number 11. And and that's it. I had just had 2 picks in number 11 and didn't have yes. So let me see. Look at what I drafted. With the number pick, I was hoping this guy was going to fall to me. And he did. Many think that this guy, because he's probably the lone big gun still in Miami, that he's going to get pitched around. I still think this guy's going to have a big year. With the number 11th pick in the first round, Moneyball, who is me. I picked Giancarlo Stanton. I think he's going to have a career year. I'm not chasing numbers from last year. I think he's been pretty consistent. So I like Giancarlo Stanton, and I decided to take him in the first round. Since I didn't have a second round pick, I had to wait until the 35th pick in the third round, and I picked this guy for a reason. I know I got laughed at. I know it was the third round. I understand that. But I had a pick coming up in the fourth round, and I could pick up somebody that is a good player. And I could have gotten him in the maybe one or two rounds after that. But I didn't want to take the chance because I like this guy a lot. I used him last year. And he proved he's consistent. He's a consistent 300 hitter. He plays multiple positions, which is key for me. So before I get to that guy in the fourth round, I picked number 11, which I got laughed at. I understand he's out for 8 weeks, but this guy, when he played last year, he played happy when he got traded, when he got moved to a different team, when he went from the East, the South, the Southeast, when he was playing for the Marlins, and he went over to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have a hell of a lineup that he's going to jump back into when he gets healthy. I'm talking about Hanley Ramirez. I understand he's out for a couple months. May. He had his operation on Friday, give or take, or whatever day it was. But he'll be out, approximately, till May. Okay? We still have June, July, August. And so that's the 2 months that he's not in there versus the 3 months that he is. I can deal with that because of the later picks I picked up. And I'm excited about it for the simple fact that I think I picked up somebody that can, I wouldn't say take his place, but is not a bad substitute for Ramirez until he gets back. And then I can use that person in another situation, another position. So I picked up Hanley Ramirez, who's a dual threat third baseman shortstop. So I can move him around a little bit. So I have Giancarlo Stanton and Hanley Ramirez, my first two picks. My third pick, he plays three positions, and I used him all over in those positions, is Alan Craig. Consistent 300 hitter, and in an offense that is, I think, in my opinion, in fact, I know it was the best offense in the majors, definitely in the National League, in the St. Louis offense. So I picked up Alan Craig, who I like a lot. In the fifth round, I come back and pick up a pitcher, Johnny Cueto, a solid pitcher. And I figured that he would be a welcome addition. One of these pitchers I tried to get last year because he had a solid year, and he's a consistent pitcher, and I picked him up in the fifth round. I come back in the sixth round and pick up a teammate of his, Brandon Phillips, for the second base position. Solid infielder, thinking he can definitely do decent work in that position at second base, and I picked him up. So notice what I'm doing here. I picked up, and unfortunately, I'm behind the eight ball because I've only picked up three offensive players in the first six rounds, and one pitcher, and one guy that's on the DL right now that won't be playing. So now I'm trying to play catch up. And I admit it, I'm trying to play catch-up here. So in the seventh round, I pick up another pitcher. You know what? This pick, if I had to do it over again, I would take it back. I probably wouldn't pick up a pitcher. The clock was going down, and believe it or not, I was indecisive on where I wanted to go. So I decided to pick up a pitcher because I only had one pitcher at the time. And I didn't want to get really, really, really extremely shorthanded in pitching. So I picked up a pitcher. I had to come back again and pick up another shortstop, Astrobo Cabrera from Cleveland. Another guy, the shortstop. Very, very good shortstop. Got him in the eighth round to take the place of Hanley Ramirez. And then I'll use him as I see fit. I come back in the sixth round, and then I'll go from there. I come back in the sixth round, and I pick up Brandon Phillips I picked up in the sixth round. I'm sorry. I was reading this wrong. And I picked up Johnny – no, no. Ninth round. I go to the ninth round because I'm trying to get you to understand my philosophy here. And then I come back and get up another outfielder who's a dual position guy. In the ninth round, I took a shot here, trying to catch lightning in a bottle. Hopefully this guy will last. Carlos Beltran. He's a dual outfielder, center field, right field, so I can use this guy in both places. He's not stuck in one position. And then you notice I'm going Cincinnati, St. Louis. Cincinnati, St. Louis. These guys are going to be battling left and right. And I got this guy back again, Yadier Molina. Got him in the 10th round for a catcher. And that's how it went. And in the 11th round, I went to a third baseman because I have Cabrera from Cleveland as a shortstop. But I need a third baseman. Because Hanley plays both positions, so I picked up Will Middlebrooks, which is, in my opinion, a very good pick. So let me put it this way. My hitters is middle of the road. My hitting is middle of the road to the bottom half of it. And my pitchers are just a slight bit lower than that. So I'm projecting myself to be in the middle of the pack, okay? Let me put it this way. Depending, right now I got my, I'm projected to be in the ninth hole. So I'll be struggling to try to win games. My guys have to absolutely play their best each and every day in order for me to be able to succeed. There's not too much wiggle room with the guys I have, pitchers or hitters. Let's move on because I got 15. I'm not in a rush because it looks like I'm going to be in overtime. So it is what it is. The next guy in line, number 8th guy that I see in the standings right now, had the number 8 pick. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about to you Chi-Town Cubbies. I see Chi-Town Cubbies being about number 8. Number 8 in the right now as we see it. Number 8 in the way they drafted, to tell you the truth, out of 12 teams. You're in the bottom half, Chi-Town Cubbies. Sorry about that. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Number 8 pick, first round, Chi-Town Cubbies. Well, who does he take? He takes Josh Hamilton. I don't know about that. Don't know about that. I would not have taken Josh Hamilton in the first round. I understand that what you're doing, but you may be chasing last year's numbers. I understand that he's in L.A. and he's got Pujols, Trout, and other players around him, and that he can flourish because of the killer lineup. But Josh Hamilton is guaranteed to get hurt at least one time during the year. Josh Hamilton, and believe me, I had him for the most part of the year. And it was very frustrating to have him hurt and extremely frustrating to have him hurt in the playoffs of last year. So don't count on Josh Hamilton playing all year and at least spend one time on the DL. And hopefully his psychological issues or mental issues don't come into play like they did last year. Hopefully he's in a better state of mind. So you, with that 8th pick, you're taking a risk with a player that, for the most part, habitually would get hurt. I mean, I understand why you took him. I wouldn't have taken him with the 8th pick, but it is what it is. You came back on the second round with David Wright. You came back with that in the third round with Starlin Castro at the shortstop position. Then you went with Billy Butler in the fourth round, where he could have gone a few other ways other than Billy Butler, but that's where you went because you wanted a first baseman right away, I guess. So the guys that you have here right now, you have Josh Hamilton that can play two positions. You have David Wright, who's a one-position player. You have Starlin Castro, who's a one-position player. You have Billy Butler, who's a one-position player. So you're limiting yourself, and then you come back in the fifth round and pick up R.A. Dickey, which I can't fault you on taking the pick, but I can, because R.A. Dickey had a career year. Career year. He's moving to a new team and to a new league. He's not in the National League. He's in the American League, where he's going to see an extra hitter. He's going to be seeing a DH, not the pitcher. So those strikeouts, I'm not saying that he won't rack up the same amount of strikeouts, but chances are, with the DH coming up and not the pitcher, that there's a strong chance that he's going to be giving up more hits and more runs. So we'll have to wait and see, and the jury's out on that. And then you come back and pick up probably one of the best closers in the league. I wouldn't have done it, in the sixth round with Craig Kimbrell. And then we'll go to the next three rounds to the ninth round. And then you go and pick up Jeff Smarter. So you picked up in the last three rounds two starting pitchers and a closer. Then you come back and pick up Michael Bourne in center field, another player with a single option. No wiggle room. And then in the eighth round, you pick up Danny Espinosa, which is a decent, good pick, second base and shortstop. And then you pick up Marco Scaturro. Now you're realizing that, oh, I got guys that are stuck in one position. I need some flexibility. So you pick up Scaturro, who handles three positions. Now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. But now you're in the 10th round. And then you pick up Brandon Jesus Montero in the 11th round and Brandon Morrow in the 12th round. That's why I have you projected to be the number 8 out of all of us, that of the 12, and your hitters are below par. You have probably one of the top 4 pitching staffs in the league, but your hitters are going to hurt you. Your everyday players are going to hurt you. And let's see who you have in your lineup. And that's Chi-Town Cubbies. Let's see who you have. All right. Your pitchers are R.A. Dickey. Your starting pitchers, R.A. Dickey, Jeff Samardzija, Brandon Morrow, Derek Holland, and Carlos Valenzuela, who's the dual positions. He's the starter and relief pitcher. So what you decided to do, you try to even out your relief pitchers and your starting pitchers. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 starters, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 relief pitchers. So exactly what you did, you even them out. But in your everyday lineup, you have Montero, Butler, Espinosa, Wright, Castro, Scaturro, Josh Hamilton, Michael Bourne, Norichika Aoki, and Kyle Seager, with Gardner, Brandon Belt, Brian Dumont, Jonathan LaCroix, and Cameron Maben on your bench. You are going to struggle, my friend. You are going to struggle. Your pitchers may help you, but in the everyday lineup, you are going to struggle big time. You are definitely going to struggle big time. That's you're, in my opinion, definitely on the bottom tier of everyday hitters. I hate to say that. Your pitchers are strong, according to the rest of the league, but you are going to struggle. Let's move on to the next one I see. This guy was an auto draft. He had the number 4th pick. I think this is the only guy that didn't show up for the draft. Relied on his on the auto draft. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he got the most players within the top 100. He got 12 players that were rated, according to Yahoo, in the top 100. And when I say top players, I'm talking about overall rankings, not in each position. So he got the top players. But I see him as the seventh best team in the league, believe it or not. Seventh best team in the league. And the reason for that is His hitters are middle of the road. Along with his pitchers. So he's basically, I got him rated seventh, but his hitters are a little better than his pitchers. Let's see what he did with the auto draft. And this is good because we had actually one person who had an auto draft, and it was he. And let's go see how the auto draft helped him out. In the first round, auto drafting, Mr. Guy Fardy, number four pick. He picked up Robinson Cano. I said, I don't think the Yankees are going to do that well. Some people think they are. They're going to be surprised. Robinson Cano, I think, is the only guy that's going to be the starter that started last year with the Yankees. Everyone else is hurt or moved on or no longer with the team. Then excuse me. And he comes back and picks up Jose Reyes. That's a good pick. So he's got Robinson Cano and Jose Reyes. He's off to a good start. Then he goes and picks up Felix Hernandez. Now, which I honestly, picking up a pitcher that early, I don't like. Third round, no way. Absolutely no way. How many pitchers went in that round? One, two, three, four, including what he picked up. A quarter of the picks in the third round were pitchers. I wouldn't have gone that way, but it's that marquee name factor that I think even though the human element was out of it. And then he comes back in the next round and picks up another pitcher. Cliff Lee. Then from there, the fifth round, he picks up Paul Schmidt. You know, I don't know about that pick. This is auto picking now. And then he picks up another pitcher in the sixth round. So you have CeCe Sabathia, Cliff Lee, and Felix Hernandez. Three of the first six picks you have, you picked up a starting pitcher. I don't know about that. I mean, you evened it out 3-3. I understand what the auto pick was doing, but then he come back and pick up Pablo Sandoval, which is in the seventh round. I think that's a very good pick. I got to admit that. That's a very good pick, picking up Pablo Sandoval in the third round. I was surprised he was available. I think I probably would have picked him up, but at the time. He was taken way ahead of when my pick was in the seventh round. We're going to be running into overtime, so I hope you continue listening because I want to get to the person in this league, I think, who drafted the best, who's got the best shot at, right now of being number one, or the top two guys being number one or two. You never know. The games have to be played. And we'll see. So we're going to be going in overtime. I'm going to cover everybody, regardless. It is what it is. So tune in next week for those who are leaving me, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the master plan. I'm JT, wishing you a happy Easter, and hopefully you'll return next week for whatever I'm going to be talking about. Who knows what I talk about, just like it says. But along the way, sports will be involved because that's my forte. That's what I like to talk about. But it is what it is. And like I said, let's get back to this drafting now because we'll be going into overtime in about 10 seconds. And then, like I said, thanks for listening if you're leaving me. In the eighth round, Guy Fardy picked up Alex Rios. I had Alex Rios last year, and he was very, very good. But he's an every other year guy. good year, bad year, good year, bad year. He had a good year last year. Let's see if he can break that string and have back-to-back good years. Speed, power guy. So let's see if he can break that string. And then he came back in the ninth round, and he picked up another starting pitcher, Giovanni Gallardo. So it is what it is. Like I said, he's middle of the road. I got him rated number about number sixth, which is right in the middle of the road in hitters, and I got him rated sixth in pitchers. But I got him rated seventh overall because the fact is that I think he's going to finish like that. That's the bottom line. I think he's going to finish like that. I mean, middle of the road means that anything that can happen to his pitchers and hitters are going to knock him down a notch, which puts him in the seventh hole. Let's move on to the next guy who had the number 12th pick. And I think this guy did very well on where he drafted from. I'm talking to you, Hakuna Tata. You have... you are, in my opinion, rated just a slight bit lower in the bottom half of the rankings, in my opinion, of the hitters. Reason being that when you drafted, the first person you drafted, you drafted a pitcher, number 12, Clayton Kershaw. Then you come back and drafted another pitcher. Now you're behind the eight ball, but the simple fact is your third round, you pick another pitcher. So the first three picks that you take were pitchers. Why? I've never, ever seen that philosophy. Now, I understand you got three very good pitchers, and you're at the top tier of the pitchers, if not the top tier, because of those three pitchers to lead your staff. But it's at the detriment of your hitting. The first pitcher, the first everyday player that you take in the fourth round, a right fielder, Jay Bruce. What, do you know something that we don't know? Jay Bruce? Okay. Then you take Joe Mauer. Decent pick, good pick at the fifth round. And then you come back and pick up another guy, Anthony Rizzo. I had Anthony Rizzo and got rid of him for a reason. He's very inconsistent, extremely streaky. And that's why I couldn't deal with him. You come back in the seventh round and pick up Chase Headley and then Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve is very inconsistent, too. I had him at one point and got rid of him. Didn't like him at that point. Come back and pick Eric Ibar in the ninth round and round it off in the tenth round. I'm just going to the top ten with Joe Nathan, a relief pitcher. Now, I understand. No, I don't understand because you picked up three pitchers in the first three rounds, and then in the next three rounds, one, two, three, four, five, six. Next six rounds, you pick up some everyday players, and then you turn around and pick up Joe Nathan. So you must have wanted a premier closer, so you picked up Joe Nathan. What's, you know, in my opinion, you put yourself behind the eight ball when you picked up the first three pitchers. This is, like I said, this draft had a little bit of everything in it. Guys that are trying to load up on offensive players and guys that are trying to load up on pitchers. Well, this Hakuna Tata tried to load up on pitchers, and it's at the detriment of his hitters. So And in our league, the scoring is, there's more scoring categories for pitchers than there are for hitters. So maybe that is the reason why Hakuna Tata wanted to load up on pitchers and got Kershaw, Verlander, and Hamels, which are three outstanding pitchers, to lead his lineup. I mean, to lead his team, because you're leading with your team. I mean, you're leading with your pitchers, so you're relying on your pitchers to do most of the work for you. You're relying on your pitchers to do most of the work for you and to carry you through the season. And that's a slippery slope for the simple reason is this. And these two guys, Kershaw and Verlander, are studs. I understand that. Kershaw is coming off an injury. And Benny's a stud, along with Verlander, but they're pitchers. Pitchers can get hurt. Not to say these guys will, but things happen. You have Kershaw, Verlander, Hamels, Ryan Dempster, Trevor Cahill, A.J. Griffin, Brandon McCarthy, and Kyle Loesch. Nice array of pitchers, along with Nathan, Axford, and as your two relievers. Nice pitching staff. But look at your everyday players. You're going to be struggling. Joe Mauer, Anthony Rizzo, Jose Altuve, Matt Carpenter, Eric Ibor, Neil Walker, David Murphy, Carlos Gomez, Jay Bruce, Ichiro Suzuki, Chase Headley, Dexter Fowler, Carl Crawford, and Torii Hunter. You are relying on your pitchers to carry you through the season. You have a decent shot. You're in middle of the road, but anything can sway, especially your pitchers. But you're really relying on your pitchers to carry you through, which is a dangerous scenario. But I have to say, good luck. But you draft the middle of the road, and coming from the 12th hole in drafting, I guess you felt this is what you had to do. Let's move on to the person who had the number one pick. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Five Tools. I got you in the number five hole as being the fifth best drafter of this and winding up in the standings. If, for the most part, these teams stay the same as they are. Quite naturally, you loaded up on your hitting with the detriment of your pitching. Let's see how you drafted and see if it made any sense. And I've harped on this, and I even made a comment that I wouldn't have done it. I think I called you a fool, whatever it was. I think I said dumb move, whatever it was. I think I said dumb move. But I knew there was some, and wasn't sure. Well, there always had to be somebody. So whoever had the first pick, were they going to take Ryan Braun, Miguel Cabrera, or Mike Trout? You chose to take Mike Trout. With the fact is, he's a dual threat player. I understand that. Rookie of the Year last year. I understand that. But 1 year does not make a bona fide superstar. Plus the fact, like I said, he was a rookie. He had a huge year. In my opinion, there's nowhere else to go but down. Regress. Pitchers going to catch up to him. Going to make adjustments. I understand hitters make adjustments. But second-year slump is very prevalent with baseball players right along with any of the football player or basketball players. So, and I'm looking because I think that's what's going to happen. Your next pick, you took Evan Longoria. Decent pick. I mean, you got him with the 24th pick in the second round, which is fine. And he came back, and he picked up Ian Kinsler, which I like Kinsler a lot. And you were fortunate enough to be able to have back-to-back picks, and you picked up two decent picks. Then he came back, and you picked up Adrian Gonzalez, dual-threat guy, first base, right field, in that big lineup with Ian Desmond as your next pick in the fifth round. So you're having decent you're having very good picks in your offense right now. And then you go in the sixth round and you pick up Martin Prado, which is Martin Prado I had before, second baseman, third baseman, shortstop, left field. He's got four positions. Great pick. Great pick in the sixth round. Martin Prado, just like Alan Craig, is one of those players that at the end of the season, and you look at his stats and you say, did he really do that? I didn't know he was that good. And that's a good pick in the sixth round. He'd be picking up Martin Prado. I like that pick a lot. And then he picked up Matt Wieters, which is a good pick. It's a good pick. Expecting big things out of Matt Wieters in the seventh round. And then you picked up Shin-Shu Chu. A suspect pick for me. I don't know if I would have gone with that, but it is what it is. And then you picked up Eric Hosmer in the ninth round. And to round it off, the tenth round, you picked up Austin Jackson, which is a good pick in the 10th round. And then you started picking up your pitchers. But you picked up all that offense. You probably one of the best offenses in the league. And at the detriment, because your pitching is very suspect now. Just like Guy Fahrni, who I talked about last, Hakuna Tata, that I talked about last, that his pitching was going to carry his hitting. This is the exact opposite for Five Tools. Five Tools hitters are going to carry his pitching because he's got probably one of the worst pitching staffs in the league, but he's got one of the best, if not the best, hitters hitting everyday players in the league. So it's going to be very interesting. These guys, I got them rated 5 and 6 overall. But one's pitchers are carrying a team, the other one's hitters are carrying a team. Very interesting at the end of the year, who's going to prevail? Who's going to be the higher? Are they going to be in the top four? Or are they going to be in the lower four? I'm talking about Five Tools or Hakuna Tata. We'll see. It'll be very interesting to find out. Let's move on to the number four guy. We're getting to be very interesting near the top of this because we're at the top quarter of the league now. This guy had the number 10 pick. I got to give it to him because with the number 10 pick, he did pretty well here and pretty even his team out. And with the better hitters than pitchers. And I'm talking about living in a hole. Yes, living in a hole. I'm talking about you. You had the number 4 pick. And what did you take in the first round? No, you had the number, 10 pick. You took Prince Fielder. Decent pick. I was really worried about the guys that were drafting in near the bottom, especially whether they were going to let my pick, which I think – I wouldn't say stolen, but I think I got a very good pick in the position I got him. And I was really worried that the guy who had number 10 pick was going to pick, living in a hole, was going to pick my pick. I thought he was going to take Giancarlo Stanton, and I would have been really stuck. Cause I'm not a real big Prince Fielder fan. I think Giancarlo's got more upside than Prince Fielder. And I'm glad, thank you, living in a hole, you picked Prince Fielder, and I was able to pick Giancarlo Stanton. Then you came back in the next pick, which I wouldn't have taken. I understand it's a marquee pitcher. You wanted a stud on your team. That's fine. Steven Strasburg, you picked up in the second round as the third pick in the second round. Then you come back and pick up another pitcher. Good pitcher. I got to give it to you. He's a good pitcher. But every time you pick up a pitcher in the early rounds, it has a tendency to hurt you in the later rounds. But you avoided that because the fact is, in the fourth round, you picked up Ryan Zimmerman. Fifth round, you picked up Jason Kipnis. Sixth round, you picked up another pitcher, Chris Sale. Excuse me. Then he went to Jimmy Rollins in the seventh. Fernando Rodney in the eighth. I'm not sure about that one. And then Chris Perez in the ninth. And to round it off, go to the 10th round, you picked up... Where you at? You didn't have a 10th round pick? I guess not. You didn't have a 10th round pick. Who had two picks in that round? I'm trying to think here. Let me see. Kunitana, guy 40. 5-2 double thing. Guy 40. Grand Theft in Chicago. Moneyball. Double. Halifax. JDK. You didn't have a pick in the... Tenth or 11th? You didn't have a pick in the 10th or 11th? Guess not. Doesn't look like it. And your next pick was the 12th round, which you picked up Willian Rosario. So I guess that's why you picked up those pitchers early, but it hurt you in the... Well, your hitters, you have better hitters than you have pitchers. You're near the top of the league in the hitters that you have, and you're in the lower half of the league in the pitchers. So you're really relying on somewhat of your hitters to help carry you through, and hopefully that you did some speculation with your pitchers. Let me see what you got with your pitchers all together. Let's move over to Living in a Hole and see what we got here. Your pitchers are Matt Cain, Chris Sale, Bud Norris, Tim Hudson, Edison Valquez, Steven Strasburg, and you have a lot of relief pitchers. Chris Perez, Fernando Rodney, Rafael Betancourt, Mitchell Boggs, Steve Kishick, and Bud. Steve Kishick. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 relief pitchers along with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 starters. So you're really relying on your hitters to carry you, and hopefully your pitchers can pick you up. Good luck. I got you rated number 4 out of the league. And coming from the 10th hole drafting, you did very well. Let's move up. So there's only 3 teams, Double Snitch, Street Bullies, and Grand Theft Auto, Votto. So who is going to be the number 1 team that I think did the best? You have to wait and see. Next up is a guy who had the number 6 pick right in the middle. One of the worst. I wouldn't say worst, but I don't like drafting in the middle because you're right in the middle on both ends of the draft, the snake draft. So And we're talking about you, Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto. Let's see how he drafted. With his number 6 pick in the first round, Grand Theft Auto took Albert Pujols. Now, Pujols started off real slow last year. Don't think he's going to do that this year. He's got a lot of good bats in the lineup. Excuse me. He's a little bit more relaxed around his surroundings now. I guess he doesn't feel he's got to carry the load with all the big guns he has in his lineup now. So I imagine he's going to get off to a good start. So I think Pujols is a very good pick, the number 6 pick. He may wind up being near the top half, one of the better players in fantasy baseball. And then you came around after that, and you picked up Troy Tulowitzki. Now, I was hoping that Tulowitzki was going to last till the third round, which is wishful thinking, and people would be scared away from him getting hurt. But Grand Theft Auto didn't think so and decided to take him, and that was a good pick. I think Tulowitzki is going to have a very strong season. And in the 19th pick in the second, or 19th pick overall, I think that's a real good pickup. Going to the third round, he picked up the Jacoby Ellsbury, the center fielder. I don't know about that one, but I don't know about that one. I don't think I would have went that route. I would probably would have picked up Edwin Encarnacion or Adam Jones, somebody like that. But he picked up Jacoby Ellsbury. That's one man's trash, another man's treasure. So, this is a suspect pick for me. This is where I feel that you're chasing last year's numbers. Jared Weaver's fastball speed has dropped every year for the last 2 or 3 years. His velocity. I know how big a year he had last year. I know what team he's on, but I don't think Jared Weaver is going to have that good a year. And to pick him up in the fourth round is very suspect to me. Fourth round, I probably would have waited a little further down the line and picked up another position player instead of Jared Weaver or a better pitcher. Like a Gio Gonzalez. I mean, he was available at the time. I'm surprised you went to Jared Weaver instead of going to Gio Gonzalez. But it is what it is. You turn around, and after that, you picked up Matt Holliday. And that's another suspect move, in my opinion, because I don't – in my opinion – I wouldn't have picked him up in the fifth round. Let me put it that way. Just wouldn't have picked him up in the fifth round. And then he come back and picked up Aroldis Chapman, one of the best closers in the league. So in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round, you went starting pitcher, left fielder, and relief pitcher. Starting pitcher, I would have picked up a better pitcher, and I can't fault you on the guys you picked up in the fifth and sixth round. The seventh round, you came around and picked Brett Lowry, who, if I'm not mistaken, he's hurt. Ryan Howard, which you probably could have got him later, waiting, and picked up somebody else, but I can't fault you for taking Ryan Howard, and then he came back and picked up Curtis Granderson, strikeout waiting to happen. I know he's got strong numbers, but that Yankee lineup is going to be suspect early, and it all depends on who gets back healthy and how better how they play. It's key. And then in the 10th round, I'll round it off in the 10th round, you picked up Roy Halladay. Roy Halladay. Is this the year that Roy Halladay has a Cliff Lee type of year? Just have to wait and see. But on the overall pick and the overall standings here, drafted, in my opinion, number four in the league. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens after that. And let's move on. So it looks like you're going to have your pitchers a little bit carry your hitting. Not by much, but you need your pitchers to do well to pick up what you lack in your hitting. Let's move on to the next two, and quite naturally, when I name this one, then you know who I think drafted the best. This next guy had the number five pick, okay? Yeah, I'm talking about you, Bull Street Bullies. Bull Street Bullies. Let's see how you picked and break down this a little bit. You had the number five pick, and you took one of the guys that I think is going to have a real huge year, as long as he stays healthy, and I think he will stay healthy this year. I mean, he had an array of injuries last year. He never could get himself right. I think because of the way the lineup's set up now, I think he's going to be having a huge year. Matt Kemp. I really like Matt Kemp this year. Unfortunately, I won in the fall. If I didn't get Matt Kemp, I'm happy with Giancarlo Stanton, but I really wanted Matt Kemp, but I had a feeling that he wouldn't last to the 11th pick. But it is what it is, and we move on from there. From there, you picked up Adrian Beltre. So you got two thumpers. You got two thumpers right off the bat. In the third round, you picked up Jonas Cepeda. You got three thumpers. So you're going strong here. You're going strong here, Bully Street. And then you turn around, and I see a growing trend. Guys get two or three guys that are thumpers, or two or three guys that are, and then you turn to a pitcher. And you went to Adam Wainwright. That's who you picked. Me, I probably would have kept on the same boat, but I can't fault you because I got you rated as the number two best drafter right now. And I really can't fault it. How can I fault it? I don't think I would have taken a picture there. But it is what it is. And then from there, you went to Ben Zobras, which is a damn good move. Three-position player. Second baseman, shortstop, and right fielder. You follow that up with another pitcher, Yu Darvish. You got him in the sixth round, which is a very good pick. And then you went from there, and you got another starting pitcher, Jordan Zimmermann. So your philosophy was you picked up three very good hitters, and then you backed them up with the pitchers that you picked up. In the eighth round, you got your first baseman, Freddie Freeman. In the ninth round, you picked up another shortstop, Alfredis Escobar. And then in the 10th, and I'm not going any further than that, you picked up your catcher, Miguel Montero. So overall, I got you rated number two. And I think you did a very good job in the number five hole drafting. And then it looks like that you did a decent amount of getting the right combination of hitters and pitchers to even your team out. And you're probably one of the Even though your hitters probably are going to carry your pitchers, you did a very good job coming from the five hole to pretty much even things out. Now let's move over to the number one guy. It only leaves one guy left. And do you say he had a advantage because he drafted from the number two hole? Yeah, I'm talking about the number two hole, which is very apropos because it's the double snitch. I think he drafted the best. Number two, he drafted in the first round Miguel Cabrera. He came back in the second round. He drafted Dustin Pedroia for his third baseman and second baseman. So he's got his second baseman and third baseman down. Then he comes back and he gets his starting pitcher, David Price, in third round. In the fourth round, he goes and gets a center fielder, B.J. Upton, which in the fourth round, I don't know if I would have done B.J. Upton, but I can't fault the man for his draft philosophy because I got him as being the best drafter in the league right now. Madison Baumgartner was the next pick in the fifth round. Then he picked up another starting slash relief pitcher, Chris Medlin from Atlanta. In the seventh round, he took up Carlos Santana, catcher first baseman, picking up some nice picks here. Paul Konerko, another first baseman, in the eighth. In the 10th round, he picked up Nelson Cruz, which is a good pick in the 9th round. And then to finish it off, I think this is a, I wouldn't say shot in the dark, but hopefully he goes out with a bang. He picked up his relief pitcher, Mariano Rivera. So let's look at his lineup, and because I got him number one, let's look at his lineup and see how he his overall lineup. His catcher is A.J. Perninsky. I'm sorry. Paul Konerko, Dustin Pedroia, Miguel Cabrera, J.J. Hardy, Adam LaRoche, Michael Morse, B.J. Upton, Nelson Cruz, Angel Pagan, Carlos Santana, Derek Jeter, Mike Moustakas, and Manny Machado. Very, very solid lineup. A very solid lineup. Let's look at his pitchers. David Price, Madison Baumgartner, Chris Medlin, Chris Cubano, Tommy Malone, James McDonald, Chris Tillman, who's on the DL. And his relief pitchers are Mariano Rivera, J.J. Putz, Kyle Clippert, David Robertson. I have to give it to you, double snitch. You did an outstanding job, in drafting, and I consider you the number one team to beat in this league. Luckily, you're not in my division, and I don't have to go up against you until the seventh week and the 18th week. So, because you have a very formidable team, and like I said, I think you ranked number one in the drafting. So there it is, people. There it is. There's my opinion on what I think on the drafting. Starting from the number one, double snitch. Number two, Bull Street Bullies. Number three, Grand Theft Auto. Number four is Living in a Hole. Number five is Five Tools. Six is Hakuna Tata. Seven is Guy Farting. Eight is Chi-Town Cubbies. Nine is Moneyball. 10 is Halifax Hurlers. 11 is FSP Blink and Die. And bringing up the rear is 12, JDK 2013. It's just my opinion. It's just how I see it as we speak right now. still games still have to be played. Players still have to play those games, and we'll see how it works out. But for the most part, that's how I see it. With that being said, I want to thank you for listening, for putting up with me all this time. I know I extended it out for a little over an hour and a half. Hopefully you listened to me. Hopefully you didn't tell me I was full of it. I'm not going to be saying any four-letter words on Easter. I guarantee you that. It is what it is. As I always close this show out with, for the most part, all the time, and today is more apropos than any, than Happy Easter. Today may be for you, but tomorrow, remember, is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future, so be careful how you treat people. I live by this mantra. Be careful how you treat people. You never know what bridge you may have to cross back over. If you burn your bridges, you may pay for it. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Just what I say. A spear, what goes around comes around, and I always say, be careful how you treat people. Peace and blessings. May you enjoy the rest of your Easter. Enjoy the NCAA games if you happen to watch them. And good luck to the owners that are in my fantasy league in ESPN and also what I just talked about, Yahoo. The baseball season starts today. Most of the games are played tomorrow. Enjoy your weekend. And just like I started this, I'll end it with a little Chaka Khan.